Glory to Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I said that was from the Gospel of Luke. It's actually from the Gospel of Matthew. A newbie. I'm sorry. I have that down by now, one would think. It's a beautiful day that we celebrate. As many of you probably already know, it's Father Miron's anniversary of his ordination. It's a great joy to celebrate this with him. He's been a wonderful friend. He's a wonderful priest. And in many ways, he's been the kindest and gentlest of teachers to me. And for that, I'm forever grateful. On the first anniversary of one's priesthood, this is the perfect gospel for one to listen to. Perfect for us all, in fact. It tells us that every one of us will serve, whether we choose to do so or not. Our freedom is inseparable from the condition of service. The question is not, will I serve or not? This we will do necessarily and instinctively, and we cannot deny our status as creatures. We always seek to attach ourselves to something that is greater, that we desire more. And so the crucial question, in fact, is, what master will I serve? And here is where my freedom of spirit makes the fateful decision. And it's true for all of us. Will I choose in truth, or will I choose in perversity? Will I serve the master who, by his very proximity to me, fills my life, my heart with joy, with freedom, with hope? Or will I construct for myself an idol that is utterly unworthy of my fealty, of my devotion? I am made to belong wholly to another. And so the question that comes to all of us and to Father Miron this day is, who is that other? Who would that other be? Christ, the Word, intimately knows every aspect of who we are, better than we know ourselves, our minds, our hearts, the deepest desires of our souls. And he cuts through the Gordian knot that shackles our soul's freedom. And he exhibits clear-sightedly the simplicity of the vision that we are to have. You cannot serve two masters absolutely. You can only serve one. And by seeking to serve two masters, you serve neither. You waste all of your energy and all of your effort. And what is more, if you do not serve that which is higher, by instinct you will move and serve that which is lower, that which is lesser. For serve you must. And the great horror of all of this, the great horror of this choice for all of us, is not, first of all, idolatry. It's by far more something more personal. It's by directing our precious emotions as human beings, the emotions of our hearts, to something such as money, or anything within this world to which we are attached, with the same intensity that we would direct that emotion, that love, to our God. And the commandment to love him above all things. The worship of God, the God of money, is unmasked at a deeper level as the cult of anxiety in this gospel. This is the normal state of our soul in this world, unfortunately. The condition is in turn inseparable from the unquestioned assumption that I alone will provide for my needs. I will do everything by the work of my hands to provide a life for myself within this world, protect myself to protect my own. The verb to be anxious, to worry, is used 6 times within these 10 short verses. And it is as if Jesus is attempting to exercise our addiction to anxiety, our addiction to the worry of our souls. Anxiety, which allegedly sets out to provide for our basic needs, only aggravates our worry, worry over food, worry over clothing, worry over anything puts us into greater and greater bondage. Anxiety for one's soul, which often translates into the physical survival of ourselves, is this kind of self-perpetuating infection. It's an abscess. It grows worse and worse over the course of time. And we feed it, we pick at it, we make it more and more angry. A being betrays itself when it becomes the slave to its lowest needs. And this constitutes the reign of mammon in our life, whatever that might be. An unexpected reversal occurs when Christ challenges our worldly values and norms. The worrier, the overachiever, the one who is always calculating the losses and gains, providing for the morrow, the person who considers himself to be the responsible adult in this world, even those that we often look up to, who seem to have it all together, whose life seems wonderful, here is judged by Christ to be wasting their time on trifles, to be throwing away the better part of their energy and their cause without a future. Our soul atrophies from a lack of use, and we choke it from incarceration to the things of this world. But the one whose spirit soars above these things heedlessly, like a bird who flies through the air, or like lilies that spring up from the earth in an unexpected fashion and having not even been planted, this is the true adult, Jesus tells us, in the kingdom, because it has perfected in itself trust. It has come to perfect trust in God, and so is truly free. The adult in the sight of God is the man who accepts the divine invitation to come to this banquet of grace. Let's come to him now and know the peace, the freedom, the joy, the hope of the kingdom. Glory to Jesus Christ.